Lord be with you.
Good
morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, and we are happy that you are here with us this morning. Our order of service today is found on page 167 in our hymnal. You can follow along this in your bulletin with this side tab. Here you'll find the hymn numbers and page numbers for this morning's service. And on the large white insert, you will find this morning's intro at Psalm and the readings for this morning. We ask that all of you take a moment to sign this white slip of paper, and as the offering plate comes by this morning, please feel free to drop that in the offering plate as it comes by this morning. We pray the Lord's richest blessings. We begin with hymn 528. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go to the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Every culture, every society of every time and place has always had their outcasts, people who are not welcomed by the majority of other people. Sometimes these people were outcasts because of things beyond their control. When we used to live in South Carolina, one of our favorite restaurants in the town of Rock Hill that we lived in was the location of a famous sit-in during the 1960s, a place where the African-American community had come to dine and yet were told that they couldn't, and so there was one of the many and numerous sit-ins that took place there. They still had the stools and the bench and the table and the counter from which that all took place. African-Americans back in the 60s and the 50s in the South were told that they were different from others. They were outcasts, so they had to eat at different restaurants. Drinking fountains were different, restrooms were different, and so forth. They couldn't help it, but yet they were judged by people as outcasts because simply the color of their skin. And then there are the outcasts that you might find today, the ones who specifically want to be outcast from everybody else. The ones who dress differently, the ones who have maybe the piercings or the spacers, things I don't have a problem with, maybe you do. People who wear clothing that's a little bit differently than your clothing, you name it. Maybe they use language that is different than your language, language that makes you feel a little uncomfortable, behaving in different ways than the culture around them. There are outcasts everywhere, some intentional, some unintentional. And of course, in the scriptures, there were always outcasts, people who were not allowed to participate in full society. Moses himself in Deuteronomy 23 mentions several different forms of outcasts, specifically from the country of the region of Moab. The Old Testament reading from our readings today tells of one particular Moabite, Ruth, who was supposed to be an outcast from Israel. Ruth's story, though, is one of the greatest love stories in all of the Bible. If you've not read that book, go home and read it. It's only 4 chapters. All you really need to do is change the name of Ruth to maybe Cinderella, and the name of Boaz to Prince Charming, and you're good to go. And the gospel reading for today tells of another type of outcast, the lepers. who were restored to society by Jesus. Lepers were outcasts, not because of them wanting to be, but because of their sickness. The laws of Israel in Leviticus 13 specifically said that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to everyone. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Their disease kept them from the normal life of society. And perhaps no disease found in the Scriptures is a better metaphor for our sin and for our sinful nature than leprosy. Listen to what a biblical dictionary says about the sin or the disease of leprosy. It begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, gradually spreading over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales, and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bones, rotting the whole body piecemeal. Great stuff for your brunch after church today, huh? The lepers, the people who used to come with leprosy, would turn people away in horror, perhaps people running away terrified. The life of these lepers was not anything glorious. It must have been truly wretched. And so, what would they do? Nothing. They would be on the outcasts of society, waiting for some sort of miraculous cure to happen, but as we may well know, it probably didn't come. So in the midst of all of these outcasts, the outcasts of the Scriptures, the outcasts of our society today, the drug addicts, the rebellious people of society, the Ruths and the lepers, where do you stand today in the midst of all of this? Where do you stand sitting in the church, being all churchly and Christian-like today? Are we any better than the outcasts of society? Are we any better than anyone else who is an outcast not by choice but by some unfortunate circumstance in life? Are we any better than the people who try to be a little rebellious, maybe not act as Christian-like as the rest of us? If we stand here today and act like we are, remind yourself what David says in Psalm 51. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We are all sinners by birth, and we only add to that sin and to our guilt all throughout our lives. Ruth knew that she was an outcast because of her culture being different from the culture of Israel. The lepers knew that they were outcasts because they saw it in their health, and people saw it every day. But we sinners don't always have that advantage. Everyone is a sinner, whether you realize it or not, and we don't have sinless people in our lives today. The world has no sinless standard for us to use a measure for our own depravity. In fact, when we judge others, we judge them by the warped standards of the world that we see around us. We develop a feeling that somehow says that we are superior, that we are better. We're surely not outcasts from everyone else. And yet we don't notice the very fact that we are all fellow outcasts in this world today. It is not until the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, shows us what God's law says, by a use of a mirror to show us our wretched estate as a sinner, then the Holy Spirit shows us how God truly views us and the fact that we have a serious disease of sin. Just as a leper was a dead man walking, so a sinner, you and me, are condemned men and women walking. But yet, when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and shows us the truth of God's law, when we see that we are outcasts, when we are sinners, then we realize that we need something far greater than ourselves. You'll notice today in this reading that the lepers don't speak out to Jesus according to what the Old Testament stated for them. Jesus walks along the side of these lepers, and they were supposed to yell out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And yet they speak the great words of faith, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." They knew their outcast state. They knew their guilt. They knew their wretched estate having leprosy. And they knew that their only help and source of comfort and true healing could come from Jesus. And the same way is for us. As we face God as fellow sinners, as fellow people who are outcasts from God's eternal kingdom, all that we can ask is for Jesus to have mercy on us. You may not realize it over and over each Sunday, but that's exactly what we do in the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. And we don't respond by saying, "Yeah, come on, get with it, God. Answer my prayers now." We say, "Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy." And on and on and on. We are but beggars, as Luther said in his dying breaths. We are but sinners in the hands of God. And yet we know that the sinless, spotless Son of God from God's kingdom has come for us. He's not an outcast. He's not a sinner. He's not sick. And yet he comes for exactly those types of people, you and me. The lepers, the Ruths, and everyone else in society. He does not only come for them, he immerses himself in the lives of the outcast, the broken, the corrupt, the guilty, and the ones full of shame. He comes into contact with them, he immerses himself in the midst of them to cleanse them, to restore them, to make them whole again. He met the unclean lepers, and he made them clean by a word. "Go show yourself to the priest." They needed to be declared clean by a priest in those days in order to be brought back into society. But they had already known that they didn't need a priest because of what Jesus had simply said. And that's what he has come to do for you and for me. "Your sins are forgiven," he has said to you this day, as he said last weekend when Pastor Meyer was here, as he has said every weekend when you come here to hear the gospel of our Lord. He comes to take our filth, our sin, and he takes it on to himself in order to make us clean. He drowns our sinful nature, our sins, and our baptism, and restores us to new and everlasting life. He takes those who are outcast and now proclaims that they are children of God, his own people. Jesus constantly would eat with tax collectors and sinners. He cured lepers, but most of all, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Before we could even cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," he has already done it for you on the cross, all so that he could take our wretchedness, our filthiness, and make it his own, and thereby declaring that you are now clean, clean, clean. It was after that he died that he showed us that he is truly different than the rest of us. Every living thing that dies begins to decay. Eventually it turns to dust, as you're seeing now in this season of fall. But as Jesus was laid to rest in the tomb, he did not decay. 3 days later, we know he rose from the dead. He's back from the dead, full of life. He raises himself victorious to be the one who rules over everything in heaven and on earth. And in his own special sacramental way, He is now present here with you today, reminding you of what He has said in your baptism, that you are now mine. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased. In a few moments, He will keep that special promise going, just as we did last Sunday and the Sunday before and every Sunday, as He comes to you in this meal in this special way. As His true body enters your mouth and His precious blood enters your mouth, He pours over you His love, His forgiveness, and His righteousness, all so that you may be declared holy, forgiven, freed of all sin, and pure in His sight. All of us have been outcasts by our sin, but all of us now are joined into God's family. We have all immersed our disease much worse than leprosy. It's called sin. But now we are healed wholly and freely by the words of eternal life. And although one day our bodies will die and our bodies will decay, there will come that great and glorious day where Jesus will rise you from the dead out of your grave, giving you a new body, never to die, never to suffer, never to decay again, giving you life eternal in His kingdom, not as outcasts, but as His own dear beloved children. We will no longer be mortals. We will share with Him in His immortality. And although we were all once outcasts, He has declared to you this day, by the forgiveness of all of your sins, that you are His children and that you will live in His kingdom forever. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.